Good morning, Crossville Church. It's good to see each of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here. We're glad to have those of you who are guests with us today, and we hope that today is a very, very special blessing to you. We're glad to have those of you who are joining us this morning on Facebook Live, and we do ask that you leave a comment to let us know that you are with us this morning. And we're just glad to see everybody on this wonderful Sunday morning. A few people said amen. It is a wonderful Sunday morning, isn't it? Amen. It's so good to see you. Let me just pass along a couple of announcements to you, or a few announcements. Be sure to remember choir practice this evening at 5 o'clock, evening worship at 6 o'clock, and the message is entitled this evening, Peacemakers Are Not Wimps. We've been looking at the Beatitudes, and so you come. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, and we'll be having a good time tonight as we look into the Word of God together. Tomorrow night at 6:30 in the Family Life Center, a Trail Life meeting. So if you have guys, young men, boys in your family or in your neighborhood, tell them about our Trail Life. We're going to be meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. Super Summer Something, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. MOPS will be in charge of the meal, Mothers of Preschoolers, and the meal is tacos and all the fixings. And I was told that the theme for the evening is, let's talk up. I knew I was going to mess it up. Let's taco up. Let's taco about MOPS. I mean, it's written down here. All I had to do was read it and still couldn't do that. Ladies in Fellowship Together will be meeting Thursday evening at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall, the lower level of this building. Be sure and remember, Vacation Bible School is starting a week from tomorrow. Be praying about Vacation Bible School. They are registering kids out in the foyer. We're going to have a great time in Vacation Bible School. And teens, this is specifically for our teens. Youth camp forms are due Wednesday. That is the absolute deadline. You've got to get those forms to Pastor Tyler by Wednesday evening. So there are some forms out in the foyer. So be sure and pick those up and get those forms back to Pastor Tyler by Wednesday evening.
Oh,
It is working. There it is. One of the joys that I have as a pastor, and have had this joy across the years, is to dedicate little ones to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. And this morning, we have baby dedication, and I'm very excited. This is the first baby dedication that I've done since I've been your pastor, and we are just excited about that this morning, and let me read to you from the Word of God. Today we are reminded of the command we are given in Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. It is the command of God that we should diligently seek to raise our children in such a way as to lead them to trust Christ as their Savior and serve Him as Lord. And in response to this command, Kat brings her and her son today to present him to the Lord and dedicate herself to this task. The precedent for child dedication may be found in Scripture, as in the presentation of Samuel to God by Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, verse 28, and in the presentation of Jesus to God by Joseph and Mary in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Jesus considered children to be infinitely precious. And in Matthew 9:19, 13 through 14, we read, "Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.'" The purpose of child dedication is really to be found in the purpose of the parent. Rightly understood, this ceremony is one of parental dedication. This mother is pledging herself to obey the command of Paul, who in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, tells parents to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. This mother comes today to follow the command and example of Scripture. By presenting this child for dedication, she signifies not only her faith in the Christian religion, but also her desire that he may early know and follow the will of God and may live and die a Christian and come unto everlasting life. And Kat, in order to achieve this purpose, it will be your duty as a parent to teach him, early to reverence the Lord, to watch over his education, that he be not led astray, to direct his youthful mind to the Holy Scriptures and his feet to the sanctuary, to restrain him from evil associates and habits, and as much as lies in you, bring him up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Will you endeavor to do so by the help of God? If so, answer, I will. You're not going to get out of this thing. I now ask you, the congregation, will you commit yourselves as the body of Christ to support and encourage this parent as she endeavors to fulfill her responsibility to this child and assist Eben by nurturing his growth toward spiritual maturity? And if you are willing to do this, I ask you to respond by standing. That's all right. He's not the first one that's wiggled. He may not be the first one that's cried either, so. Oh, my goodness. Eben, your mom, your church family this morning, we dedicate you to the Lord. We dedicate her to the Lord as she endeavors to raise you in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you call for the children to come to you. We're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have this morning as a congregation and also as a parent to bring this child to you. But, Lord, we're not just dedicating him. We're dedicating ourselves. We're dedicating ourselves as a congregation to provide a place that children and young people, adults, can come and they can find Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray for Kat today
I pray, oh God, that you would bless her, that you would strengthen her, that you would give her wisdom, that you would help her as she raises Eben, that he might early find Jesus and might live for you all the days of his life. We give you glory and honor for the opportunity to do. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning and for this service. In Jesus' name, amen. This is what you have to do. May God bless you, Kat. May God bless you, Eben. In Jesus' name.
Let's pray together. Father God, we've gathered in your house today for another Sunday morning worship service. But Father, this morning I pray that you would help this not to be just another Sunday morning worship service. God, that we would focus on what really matters this morning and that we would understand that we are preparing to enter into a dialogue with you. Father, we pray that as our praises go up, that you would send your Spirit down among us to dwell with us in this place. And so, Father, I pray that in order for that to happen, that we would be able to put aside the things that may be on our minds and on our hearts, and that we would be able this morning to just focus completely and totally on you. God, we love you. We thank you so much for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne.
Of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, he declares his work is finished. He has spoken this hope to me. Though the sun had ceased its shining, though the war appeared as lost, Christ had triumphed over evil. It was finished upon that cross. Now the curse, it has been broken. Jesus paid the price for me. Full the pardon he has offered. Great the welcome that I receive. Oh,
approach my Father, clothed in Jesus' righteousness. There is no more guilt to carry. It was finished upon that cross. Death was once my great opponent. Fear once had a hold on me. But the Son who died to save us rose that we would be free indeed. Death was once my great opponent. Fear once had a hold on me. But the Son who died to save us rose that we would be free indeed. This rose that we would be free indeed. Free from every plan of darkness. Free to live and free to love. Death is dead and Christ is risen. It was finished upon that cross. Onward to eternal glory. To my Savior and my God. I rejoice in Jesus' victory. It was finished upon that cross. It was finished upon that cross. It was finished upon that cross. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Grip on me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. It came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared. where the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me.
Father, you are indeed our living hope. And we come to you this morning rejoicing that we can know you as our Savior, thanking you, Lord, that you are willing to come and to live and to die so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could have eternal life, and so that we could spend eternity with you. And we give you glory and honor and praise this morning for who you are and for what you want to accomplish in our lives. Lord, we're grateful for these who have gathered here in this service this morning. We know that you, through the power of your Spirit, want to do something in our hearts, our lives, our church, our community, our country. You're wanting to move. You're wanting to have your will and your way in our hearts and lives. But Lord, we have to have that passion for you. And so I pray, God, that in this time that we do have together this morning, that you, through your Spirit, Lord, would convict us where we need to be convicted. That you would strengthen us and encourage us in those areas of our lives that we need to be strengthened and encouraged. That this morning, that we would sense your Spirit speaking to us. Lord, help us not just to sense Him speaking to us, but help us, oh God, to be obedient to Him. And we're grateful, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish as we are obedient to you today. Lord, there are those of our congregation that need your touch. They need your help. And so, Lord, this morning we're believing you that you're going to touch and you're going to help. We've been praying for some for quite some time, Lord, but we do believe this morning that you're still in the healing business and that you are still able to touch and help and heal. You are able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. And so, Lord, we trust you that you're going to touch and that you're going to help. For other needs, Lord, that we've been praying about, thank you, God, that you are at work. We give you glory and honor and praise in advance for the answers that are going to come in those situations. We pray, Father, today that as your people give, that you would bless their giving, that you would use it to build your kingdom. But, Father, I pray now that as we look into your word, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would move on our hearts and lives. And as I prayed earlier, Lord, help us to be obedient. Every person in this room, every person in this building, help us, Lord, this morning, that we would indeed be obedient to you and for what you're going to accomplish in us, through us, and for us in this service. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning. Really, I'm going to look at two passages of Scripture. Why don't you just turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and then I can read Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to you here in just a moment. But we're going to look at these two passages of Scripture as we go through the message this morning. Next Sunday morning is Father's Day. And wow, this year is moving on fast, isn't it? Just nod your head. I heard someone say, who was quite a bit younger than I am, and it wasn't Tyler, Pastor Tyler, this week. I heard someone say this week that when you get older, the days just go by faster. And I looked at him and I said, you don't have a clue yet. And, wow, Father's Day is next Sunday. We will have a time to honor our dads. And a special gift for all the fathers who are present, so be sure and remember that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 reads that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 reads, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart for, as working for the Lord, not for men." Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. I had an interesting conversation with someone last Sunday. I asked them about the 500,000 mobilization prayer journal that we passed out to our congregation. Nazarene churches all over the United States passed those prayer journals out to their congregations. We were supposed to go basically from Easter all the way through Pentecost. And as I was talking to this pastor, he told me, he said, "Well, we used it, but we only had one or two comment about the prayer journal." And I said to him, "Well, I had one or two that commented to me about it, how much they enjoyed it." And then he said this to me. He said, "I'm just not sure people are passionate about their devotions anymore. I'm just not sure that people are passionate about their devotions anymore." And then he shocked me. He really did. Because the next phrase out of his mouth was, "I'm just not sure people are passionate about God anymore." I'm just going to let that sink in for a moment, okay? I'm just not sure people are passionate about God anymore. Now, I'm going to be honest. The first part, that really didn't stirred me. It kind of bothered me. But I will tell you that the second statement stopped me in my tracks. That people are not passionate about God anymore. Well, I got to thinking about that. What really is passion? What is passion? I found out that passion is a word that is used to describe very intense feelings. Now, those may be feelings of anger. They may be feelings of love. Passion is used to describe anything from the sufferings of Christ, from the Last Supper on through the cross. And we know about passion plays. But there are various ideas about what passion really is. Some people believe that passion is a fervency. Some people believe that passion is an enthusiasm. I really believe that one day I'm going to come into a church service and I'm going to get up to preach and the people in the congregation are going to be as enthusiastic about my message as they are about their sports teams. I knew I would not win friends or influence people. Well, I influence people, but I knew I would not win friends with that, you know. We do. We go and we scream and we yell. Especially at the referees. Don't yell at me, please, on a Sunday morning or anything like that. But you begin to think about it. I mean, there is a diligence. There is a zeal that goes along with this. I like this definition. Passion is an intense feeling and an emotion of intensity wrapped with a sense of urgency. Let me read that to you one more time. Passion is an intense feeling, an emotion of intensity wrapped with a sense of urgency. Well, we're passionate about a lot of things, aren't we? We're passionate about work. We want to succeed. We're passionate about our possessions because we want to have more. We're passionate about a whole lot of things. I found out a long time ago that we all have enough time and energy and money for those things which we are passionate, for which we're passionate. The real question that I think that we have to ask this morning is, are we passionate about the things that are important? Are we passionate about the things that are important? Are we passionate? Is there an intense emotion? Is there a sense of urgency about our relationship with God? If you read the newsletter article, you know that I really looked at two words this week. And that first word that I told you about in the newsletter article was the word devoted. That's what it says there in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. And then the other word was passion. I mean,
you have those two words, and they're almost synonymous. I mean, the Apostle Paul tells us that whatever we do, to work at it with all of our heart. That sounds like passion, doesn't it? To work at it with all of our heart, as though we're working for the Lord and not for men. I mean, the Bible has a whole lot to say about our passion. It encourages us to pursue a passionate relationship with God. I mean, it really does. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous, be passionate for the fear or the reverence of the Lord." Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." Do it with passion. Do it with devotion. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says, "It is fine to be zealous, provided that a purpose is good." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, he's talking to the church there about their spiritual gifts. And then Paul says, "Try to excel in gifts that build up the church." Try to excel in gifts that build up the church. You go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, and Paul says there about himself, "To this end I labor, struggling with all the energy which so powerfully works in me." Paul tells that young preacher Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, he's talking about Jesus, that he gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own. Get this, eager. That sounds like passion too, doesn't it? Eager to do what is good. And then Paul tells that other young preacher that he wrote to in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." Fan into flame. Timothy, what he's saying there is, Timothy, I want you to burn with the power and the presence of God as you stand before those people that you're going to minister to. I want something to happen inside of you that will make you passionate. Fan to flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. Can I ask you a question? And this is not for you to answer out loud, okay? Please don't. When is the last time that you were really passionate about God's house? When did you wake up and say, "Oh boy, I get to go to church this morning. Praise God." I mean, think about it. When is the last time that you were really passionate about something? I mean, when is the last time that the wind of the Spirit fanned into flame what God is doing in your heart and in your life? Or are we just allowing those things to kind of smolder? An old preacher was once asked why so many people came to hear him preach, and he said, "I just set myself on fire and people come to watch me burn." Wow. Think about that. Is there something missing in our relationship with God, why we don't have the kind of passion, why we don't have the kind of fervor that we really used to have? I remember as a kid when people would shout and run the aisles. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to shout, if you're going to stand and praise God, if you're going to run the aisles, it better be God doing it and not you doing it. We don't want the earthly worked up stuff. But when God moves and when God is present, wow, it does things. Well, if there is something missing in our relationship with God, I want to show you at least three things this morning that I think can help us in our passion and in our relationship with God. The first thing that I want you to notice is why do people lack passion? Well, a whole lot of times the reason that we lack passion is because precious things have become all too familiar. That the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Max Lucado, in God Came Near Us, he says to say that this agent of familiarity breeds contempt is not to let someone off easily. Contempt is just one of his offspring.
He sires broken hearts, wasted hours, and insatiable desires for more. He is an expert in robbing the sparkle and replacing it with the drab. He invented the yawn and put the hum in humdrum. And his strategy is deceptive. It is not that you've backslidden, but you have forgot what it was like to be lost. We have forgot what it was like to be lost. We have forgot what it was like when Jesus first came into our hearts. We have forgot the change. We have forgot the transformation. We have lost the sense of wonder and awe as God is moving in our midst. We're not passionate like we used to be. We live in this day and age, we live kind of in a me-first society. We want what we want. We want it everywhere we go. We want what we want instead of what God wants. It's important that we come to church. It's important that we worship. It's important that we do all these things. But are we doing it because that's what we want or because that's what God wants? Do we examine what happens in here based on what I want or what God wants? Do we base what happens in here on what you want or whether that's what God wants? You see, if we live only for ourselves, we're in a mighty small business. And we get to the point where it's all me-related rather than God-related. You're not going to like this next point because I didn't like about it as I thought about it. But there is this idea that as we get older, we just kind of relax some. Another word for that is sag. You'll get that in just a minute, okay? You know, I talked about it a little bit ago. You know, what once made our hearts beat fast doesn't even hardly get started anymore. We get into routines. We get into ruts. I heard John Maxwell say that a rut is a grave just with the two ends knocked out of it. I think back about Caleb in the Old Testament. Caleb was one of the 12 spies that went and looked out into the land. And Caleb and Joshua came back and they said, listen, this land is beautiful. This land is great. This land is overflowing with milk and honey. And the rest of the people said, we can't do it. There are giants there. Can I tell you something? There are giants everywhere. They may not be physical giants, but there are giants in your life and there are giants in my life. And we can determine how we're going to handle those giants. And you find Caleb going to Joshua as an older fella at 85. And I want you to listen to what he says at 85. He says, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me. Can I tell you something about what he was asking for? He was asking for the hardest part of any of that was going to have to be taken. I heard John Maxwell say once again that he was going to a retirement center and to preach to a group of Christians there. And when he got into the car, the pastor was telling him all the things that he didn't need to say and all the things that he didn't need to do because these were old people that he was going to talk to. And John Maxwell said that on the way to that service, he changed the title of his message and he preached, Why Retire When You Can Re-enlist? Folks, I'm going to tell you, as we grow older, our passion for God ought not grow less. Our passion for God ought to grow greater because we're closer to meeting Him. I'm 61 years old. I remember thinking that I would be, 60 years old in the year 2020, and I didn't think I'd ever live that long. And here I am. I'm 61 years old. I'll be 62 in September. Doing the service that I did a couple of weeks ago reminded me that I don't have that much time left. I ride bikes with these young guys, but I'm going to tell you, they nearly kill me. Shouldn't I be more passionate about the things of God because my time is shorter?
Shouldn't I be more passionate about doing the things that I know need done because I know that I've only got this short amount of time and therefore I need to do everything that I can do in order that I can bring as many people with me as I can when I go? And I'm going to turn it around on you. The same should be said about you. The same should be said about all of us because none of us are guaranteed today. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We should be passionate about the things of God, but many times we lack passion because we just have kind of grown apathetic about a whole lot of things. And we're afraid that if we do grow passionate about it, we might be accused of being a fanatic. God help us to be fanatics about the things that he thinks are important. Well, why should our passion toward God be our priority? Well, I really do believe that God wants passionate believers. I'm in point number two. Well, what God wants passionate believers. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says that God wants to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, that we should never be lacking in zeal, but keep our spiritual fervor as we serve the Lord. Fervor is another word there for passion. You see, a lot of people have this idea that Christianity is some inward journey that should not be seen, it should not be heard. Christianity is to be fervent to the boiling point about the things of God. We also have this idea that the church ought to be a place of tranquility. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It has been a wonderful thing over the past few months to hear this place sound like a gym when we're leaving here. You say, William, what are you saying? I'm saying because the children are running and playing and they're having a good time, and it means that children are here. You know, why should our passion for God be a priority? Not only because God wants it that way, but because I really believe that it is a first step to accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. I mean, think about that. He has given us a purpose. We are not just here to sit across from Walmart. You'd be surprised how many places I go and I say, I'm pastor at the First Church of the Nazarene. They say, where is that? Do you know my first response? Do you go to Walmart? Oh, yeah, I go there once or twice a week. I said, you see us every time you come out the parking lot. We're not here just to occupy this few acres of land right here across from Walmart. We are here to accomplish the purpose for which God put this church downtown and here. God, help us to do it. God, help us to be passionate about the goals and the things that he wants us to do. You see, because passion will change us. It'll not only change me, it'll change you, but that kind of passion will also change those people out there. It'll change other people. And our friends and our family can see the difference in us. I really believe that if we get passionate about things, the person that is living with us in our house will see it. The first person who should see passion in me is that lady that sits right there. I don't want to just come to church on Sunday mornings and you go out of here saying, oh, wonderful, I feel good. Sometimes I don't want you to feel good. Sometimes I want God to so get in you and stir you that when you leave here, something happens more than just us going to Cracker Barrel or the Mexican restaurant or to Ruby Tuesdays. I've seen a lot of you at all three of those places. Passion ought to do something in us, and God wants it to be a priority in us. Well, how can we possess it? How can we possess it? That was the wonderful thing, I think, about the prayer journal. And let me tell you, if you didn't get the prayer journal and you didn't fill it out or you didn't go through it, I want you over the next 30 or 40 days to look at that and to do it again, okay? And if you didn't get one, we still have some out here in the foyer. You say, well, Pentecost is already gone. Pentecost can be repeated. For those of you who are a guest today, I apologize if I'm making you uncomfortable. This has been on my mind. I'm telling you, you can't even begin to believe how this has been on my mind since he said that to me on Sunday of last week. I couldn't get over it. I mean, it just really bothered me. I think you and I need to pray that God would give us a passion. We can possess a passion for God as we pray and as we see God. Paul said to the Colossian Christians in chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I mean, those words there, they speak of passion. And if you and I are going to have any kind of good relationship with God, it can't be through now I lay me down to sleep prayers. It's going to have to be, oh God, here I am, do something in me. Do something in me. And sometimes that's going to require struggle on our part. Because I promise you, folks, I'm telling you the honest truth. If you begin to say, God, do something in me, God is going to begin to do something in you. And it may make you very uncomfortable. Until we reach a point that we say, God, what you want is more important than what I want. What you want me to do is more important than what I want to do. I mean, you go over to the book of Revelation, and I'm telling you, Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 bother me because Jesus is speaking there to the church at Ephesus, and how many, he has praises for them, but the last thing that he says to them, and he says, I have this against you. And then he just blows them out of the water when he says, you have left your first love. Evidently, that church had really been on fire for God at one point in time, but they had let everything go cold. They had left their first love. And when you and I really begin to think about what God has done in us across the years, when we really begin to think of what God has done in our church and how He has moved in our church and how things have happened, we don't get to be this size because people just sat around and did nothing. We get to be this size because somebody somewhere paid the price. But we're not the last ones. At least I hope we're not. There are babies out there that have not been born yet that I hope Mary gets to teach in Vacation Bible School. We took the kids yesterday to the Ark. Let me just go ahead and tell you, if you're going to take a trip to the Ark, don't go on Saturday. You know? Don't go when kids are out of school. As we were walking up, one of the guys, when he greeted us, as we were walking up to get on the bus to go out to the Ark, he said to me, he said, this is going to change your relationship with God. And when he said that to me, I knew what I was preaching. I can't tell you that the Ark yesterday changed my relationship with God. But I can tell you that God's doing something fresh and new, at least in me for right now. And I hope that you will say, oh God, we want your Holy Spirit to come and to do something fresh and new in us and revive and restore and give us a passion for you and a passion for the people who are around us. Folks, I'm telling you, we can't say we just live in Crossville, Tennessee and there's only a few people here. Folks, they are everywhere. We just have to be passionate enough about them to go and win them. Conclusion. Let me give you four things that I think we need to do. The first one is we need to be passionate about our walk with God. It all begins right there. If you're not passionate about your walk with God, you're not going to be passionate about anything that happens in the church. If you're not passionate about your relationship with God and you're not passionate about the things of God, I'm going to tell you, nothing is going to happen here that's going to be effective in your life. I put on Facebook just before I got up here, I am excited about what God is going to do today. Now, if nobody else is excited, I am. Okay? Because I really think God is doing something new. We need to be passionate about our witness for God. I mean, there is a danger of a church losing its passion and treating the gospel just like some piece of information. It's more than that. It is alive, and it will change and it will transform people's hearts and lives. Every problem that is present in Crossville, Tennessee can be solved with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That wasn't in the notes. It's worth remembering. That's the truth, folks. Every problem in Crossville, Tennessee can be resolved with a relationship with Jesus Christ. So when we give out the gospel, we're giving out something that can change and transform people. I think we need to be passionate about our call from God. Paul tells Archippus, I love those names. Paul tells Archippus, he says, see to it that you complete the work you have received from the Lord. I want to tell you what that did to me when I read that. See to it that you complete the work that you have received from the Lord. Every person in this room has received a call of God to do something in their lives for God. See to it that you complete the work you have received from the Lord. Be passionate about your church. The board is absolutely about to die, okay? I mean, they may have a call meeting after this statement. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you're not excited about Crossville First Church of the Nazarene, I want you to go someplace that you can be excited. Because we need to be excited about what's happening. We need to be excited about what God is doing. We need to be excited about the way that God has transformed lives and is moving in hearts and lives. And I'm so thankful for all of you that are here this morning, but I'm telling you, please be passionate about your church. You don't have to, be passionate about the preacher. But be passionate about your church. This is where God has placed you, and He's placed you here for a specific reason and a specific purpose. Do not miss out on what God wants to do through you and for you in this church. They devoted themselves. Isn't that an amazing word? They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. They gave themselves completely to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. They devoted themselves. My prayer for every person in this room, my prayer for every person in this room is that God would so pour out His Holy Spirit on you that the passion that you had when you first met Him will be restored. And that you just can't help but talk about God. You can't help talk about what Jesus can do in your heart and life. You just can't help it. It just is a natural flow out of you, just as natural as breathing in and breathing out. They devoted themselves. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that You, in Your passion, came into this world, lived, died, so that same kind of passion can be transferred into us, that we might move and that we might speak and that we might do, and that relationship that we have with You might be something that just stirs within us. Kind of like Jeremiah said about the fire that was in his bones. May that be reality for us, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, it's easy to lose our passion. Sometimes situations and circumstances come into our lives that cause us just want to forget everything and move on. But thank You, God, that you can renew and you can restore and you can do something in us and through us that can radically change not only us, but those people who are all around us. And so, Lord, this morning I ask you that as we stand here before you, that we would indeed devote ourselves, that we would give ourselves to you. And that the same passion that we had when we first came to know you as our Savior would be restored and renewed, so that wherever we go, whatever we do, people would see that there is something different, something about us that just overflows with the love and the power and the presence of God in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together. But Lord, help us not just to leave this place this morning saying, oh, it was good to be in church. Help us to leave this place this morning with renewed passion, with renewed devotion, with renewed zeal, with renewed vigor, whatever word we want to use, Lord, that we would leave this place knowing that we have been empowered by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We don't want to be just stirred for a few moments and not be changed. We want you to do something in us. I pray, Father, that in just a moment, as Susie comes and she just plays something softly, there may be one, there may be more here this morning, that maybe the passion has just kind of ebbed away. Maybe they've said, "Well, I'm older, so I'm just gonna relax." Maybe there's someone here this morning that they've never met you as their personal Savior. Thank you, O God, that they can come and bow before you and say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Help me to live for you." And that passion that I've talked about this morning can be theirs right here, right now. Lord, there's too much at stake. There are too many people's lives. And if we say what we believe about eternity, then how can we be silent? How can we not be passionate? Oh God, I pray that you would help us. I wonder, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there might be one, maybe more. And I know this has been kind of a challenging message this morning, but maybe you need to step out from where you're standing and come and bow here in this altar and say, "Oh God, renew my passion, restore my first love, do something in me that like I had years ago, or maybe like I had just a few months ago, or maybe that I had at the end of revival, but has just kind of seemingly ebbed away." Do you need to come and bow here and say, "Oh God, do something in me"? I'm not going to linger long, not going to keep the altar open for a long, long time, but maybe you need to come this morning. I know what courage it's going to take. Do you need to pray this morning before we go? You need to join this one. Amen. Lord, this morning we give you thanks and we give you glory for the ways that you move in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that sometimes you startle us with statements that bring us into reality. And so, Lord, I pray for these who have come. I pray for those who are standing here this morning. Maybe they just couldn't find the courage that they needed to step out and to come and bow here in this altar. But God, you can do something for them right there in the seat where they're sitting or standing. You can move in their hearts there just the same as you can here. It's good, Lord, to make a public commitment. But you can do it right there. Change us, Lord. transform us, renew us, restore us. Do in us what we so desperately need. Do in us what our community so desperately needs. Help us, Lord, not just to be the church that's across the street from Walmart. May they recognize us by our love. May they recognize us by our fervor for you. May they recognize us because we freely talk about Jesus and what Jesus can do in their hearts and lives. Oh, Lord, may we fulfill your call. May we fulfill your mission. May you, Lord, help us to realize that you can change the problems that are in Crossville, Tennessee. You can change our problems. You can change us. So we give you glory and honor this morning and ask you, God, that you would do that in us which we so desperately need. Bless these who are bowing before you. May you begin in us, all of us, in this place this morning. Something that can transform and change us. And we give you glory and honor and praise for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. We ask the congregation, if you will, go reverently from this place as these pray here. If you want to come and join them, you're more than welcome. We just want you to have God to have his will in his way. May God bless you. We'll see you this evening. You are dismissed.